Blog Talk Radio.
Off a little bit different than what we've been going on. It's not necessarily, how would I say, my man, this is not necessarily typical sports topic to start off with, but I just thought I had to bring it in because both me and you and a couple of our friends back in the day used to be into what we call the WWF, which is changed now to the WWE. Big story. Got a Got a WWF. I'm sorry, the WWE. Hulk Hogan dismissed, fired, and separated based on some racial comments that he made 8 years ago. How many years ago, Luke?
8 years ago.
8 years ago. And I did hear those topics, and I wanted to touch on it a little bit because, you know, I people get different responses and different reactions, and I'm going to give my whole opinion on this, and this is the truth. Now, did it surprise me? And I had to sit back for a second and actually think about that for a few seconds.
Why?
Did this surprise me? Yeah, I know. Because, see, look, I'm going to tell you the truth. You know, back in the day, as you know, Hulk Hogan, they can say whatever. He is the most popular wrestler, entertainment wrestler, that ever walked the face of the earth. I mean, can we go ahead and just say that? That's the truth, is it not? There's nobody more popular than him. I don't think so. I mean, there's some that are great.
All the time,
you know, when you talk about, all the time, it's almost like he is the Michael Jordan of wrestling. He is. He's the All-American, right? And prayers and vitamins of the such. This is basically what we see and what we've become accustomed to and when we used to watch him. And, you know, it never really mattered whether he was black or white. You loved that guy because he was really the face of the WWF, and everybody wanted to be Hogan. Everybody wanted to talk like Hogan. Everybody wanted to say prayers and have vitamins like Hogan. But then, as you notice, we got older, and back when we was coming up, we kind of knew it was entertainment. We also sometimes at some point thought it was somewhat, you know, like a real-life scenario. Now we realize that, of course, they do actually get injured, and it is a physical, tough sport, but we realize it's entertainment now. So it lost a little bit of luster, at least in my eyes, as I grew as an adult, because it was like, okay, now I know it's entertainment, and now they pretty much have it figured out who's going to win ahead of time. And, you know, it didn't really matter if he was black or white or whatever. You wanted to be him, and you kind of looked up to him to a certain degree, right? Because he was like, man, I'm a Hulk Hogan fan. But as like I say, you know, in life, when you are young, you're very sheltered or you're ignorant to a lot of the things of people in society, and some things in society and some things in people do not necessarily change who they are. And I think this stemmed from his daughter dating, I don't even think the guy was black, to be quite honest, but I think he's half black or something like that. I'm not sure. I can, you know, I looked at him
close enough
and I saw him. Is he fully black? He doesn't look like it. But regardless of it, he has, he's very, like, he looks mixed. And there's nothing wrong with that, being mulatto or biracial. You know what I mean? But, you know, just the fact that, you know, in this country, even to this day, as we see in all kinds of facets of media and truth, that anything that is attached to something black is always negative, is always going to be perceived as negative. And no matter what, God, look at the guy, Lou. The guy don't even, I'm like, okay. At first I thought he was Hispanic, but then when you look closer, you could obviously tell that he had some kind of mixed heritage. But Hogan comes out and he just makes all these different racial things, and it was a private conversation of his house. Not to say that changes, you know, the level of intensity or the way you should take it if you're a person of color. But basically, he didn't like the fact that his daughter could be possibly dating somebody of color. And see, it does two things. See, it puts not only him in a bad situation, in a bad light, it really hurts the kid. It hurts her because, see, she's actually trying to live life the way you're supposed to live life, and you just go out and you just go for what you like. Doesn't matter what they are, whether they're white, black, or whatever. If you like them, you like them. And here, her father makes these statements, and what is she supposed to do? Really? Disown him? You know what I'm saying? You're not going to disown him. You're not going to hate him. He raised you. He's your father. So you're not going to agree with everything your parents may do. But you don't, you know, you still respect and love them to a certain level, a certain degree. And that's all she could ever do. And see, she's going to catch scrutiny just because she wants to support or show that she still loves her father. You know what I mean? I think she wrote some kind of point. But back to Hogan. It doesn't really, and I'm not really surprised because ultimately I know, especially with the older generation and some of the new ones, it ain't all just old generation, but for the most part, as this country constantly goes and fights over rights and racism on a daily basis, we all know that for the most part that there's always a divide, and we know that there are certain white people in the country that will always have issue or take issue with people of color, black people. Now, the first thing you're going to hear, right, Lou, is they're going to sit and they're going to say, well, why? Why does that happen? Why does it not change? Well, listen. You know, you watch the media, you know, you look at the evening news, we look at people doing just everyday life, black people are always cast in a negative way, negative fashion. It's the truth, right? If there's, you know, you have a black guy with a gun, you're saying he's probably a menace to society and he sells drugs. Correct? Because that's what we see on the news. But if it's a white person with a gun, oh, you know, he's just a patriot and he's trying to protect what's his, and he's just going to be on the defense. When in actuality, they are the ones that could be the ones shooting and killing people, a la South Carolina and the church. I don't think people even realize what happened there. That was a situation where a white guy, a white racist, white supremacist, went to a black church, sat there while they was having Bible study for over an hour. An hour, Lou, he sat down with these people in the church, turned around after that and killed them. 9 people this guy killed. And you look at the way the media portrays them. Misunderstood. Right? Sick, needs help. You see how they portray him?
Yeah, the usual.
But if you see the same situation, if a black man does the same thing, then it's like, you know, let's burn him at, let's put him in a chair, let's fry him. It's a different vibe, and it is just what this country was built upon. It was slavery just under 200 years ago. You don't think people realize this is less than 100 years ago. I'm sorry, is it? What year are we in? We're in 2015, right?
15.
So 100 puts us at 1916, and maybe 50 years before then. We were almost 150 years ago. We was coming in on boats being shipped. And don't think because it stopped up there by, you know, when it came to the Declaration of Independence, that there didn't cease to be mistreatment and hangings and butcherings of black people in the early 1900s or even in the 60s or even to this day. There's still big issues of racism today. So does it surprise me? No, it doesn't. He's a white, successful wrestler, sports, you know, media entertainment guy, blonde hair, blue eyes, right? Blonde hair, blue eyes daughter. And see, this is the, people will never admit some of these truths. Let me tell you something. People generally like things that are different from what they normally have had in life. Like if all you've eaten your entire life is oodles and noodles and eggs and rice, when you get a nice steak in front of you or a couple of different, you know, varieties of tacos, you're going to go for the thing that's different. You're going to try something new. You're going to, you know, you're going to do what we call is in parentheses to be considered to be taboo. Right, Lou? We're going to do the different things because that's, it's a new age. We'll try new things. And truth be told, you know, we need to just stop lying to ourselves and just be like, you know, listen. We just love different cultures. We love to try different things. People in the world, we love to try different things. There's variety here, right? So it's also that way in relationships. Sometimes, you know, you might want to go outside of your culture and possibly date somebody who is different, who may see things different, may have been raised different, and might be attracted to that person because of the differences or maybe because you feel that person looks good. White, black, blue, it doesn't make a difference. People like to try things that are the difference, that are not necessarily the norm. And we see that every day, right, Lou? In this new culture, that's what we see. We see people, you know, doing different things. Now I see, I go on television, things that used to be taboo. You know, you have primarily hip-hop. You have basketball players dominated by black people, but every so often you get a real athletic, good white guy. Same thing in football. I mean, it's not that much far-fetched to say, hey, you know, this guy could definitely just kind of just sit back and be actually into something that is different than what he's normal. And that's what we do. You live in the United States where everything is open to everything. You got a guy that dresses up like a woman and he says he's a man. He's a woman now. It's different over here. People do different things. People are into different things. So as the cultures grow, you're going to see more and more You're going to see people experimenting and trying different things. And people that were not raised that way or never saw that are definitely against it. Man, if I don't choke to death. But that's what we see. So when I look and I see Hulk Hogan and, you know, he makes his highly inflammatory comments and he has this issue towards black people in the comfort of his house and how his daughter is possibly dating a man of color, and he has a serious issue with it, it doesn't surprise me because he comes from the understanding or from the upbringing of where they don't do that.
Yep.
So it doesn't surprise me. I guess it would be very surprising to those who are unaware of these things that come up new, the younger generation, because they're not so much as much into racism as we were. Certain things that we see. But, I mean, it's there. I don't think that's something that will ever go away. I mean, you look at the current situations now, what's going on, you know, and whether it be by the police officers and black victims and, you know, people just, you know, can't really address their freedoms. And you can't. I know this ain't really a sports topic, but see, I'm going to go ahead and touch on them. We might as well.
It's sports entertainment. Okay.
It's sports entertainment. But, you know, I look at it like this. And see, being a black man, see, there's a such thing that we sometimes forget to display what I call wisdom. And I'm going to give you a perfect example of this. You know, perfect example of this is when you, how would I say, Lou, you know what the environment is. As I look at it, we dealing with police officers have to be very careful because there are police officers that are really looking forward to having a confrontation with us and possibly try to kill us. This is the way we feel. This is the way we go about everyday life because this is what we see. So if some or one of these officers were to stop me, I don't think myself personally would respond a certain way when they came and they approached me. See, it's the thing. Like, you have to wage things. You have to put them on the scale and balance them out and say, okay, what is my life worth? Now, for some people, they say, what are you talking about? You sound crazy. Well, no, I'm going to show you why. Actually, I sound smart. Because for a black man, or as my partner here realizes, that your life can be very much on the line when you're being confronted by an officer. Very much so. Because there's too many of black people that suffer big time injuries or even death at the hands of a cop based upon the way they've been arrested or the way they respond. Now, wisdom tells me when I am approached by a cop, yes, sir, no, sir, thank you, ma'am, if it's a woman, of course. And to speak with a certain level of respect so that my life may be preserved. Now, initially, I might get, you know, and it might have been a wrong reason to stop. I know it. You know it, right, Lou? We know that there's a possibility that we can get stopped for no apparent reason other than the fact that we are somebody that looks suspicious because of our skin color. But nevertheless, because of the profiling and other things. But see, knowing that, I'm not going to make it easy for this guy to kill me. That's the thing. It's all about survival and being somewhat wise. Now, you have your special occasions, which are more than likely the exception versus the rule, where, you know, they do everything right, yes, sir, no, sir, thank you, ma'am, thank you, sir, and they still get, you know, killed or whatever the case may be. I'm sure there's a small percentage of black people that are out there that make up that percentage. I'd say maybe 0.7%. Because, listen, I've been pulled over so many times by police, I can't even stress to you I can count just this year alone. Stopped about 6 times I have been stopped by the police just this year alone. In my entire life, I could say possibly I may have been stopped close to like maybe 20 to 30 times. All right? And I am right now at this present point 37 years old. So you do the math, that's almost once every 1.5 years I'm getting stopped of my life, if you want to break it down like that. But the point of the matter is, Lou, I've got stopped a lot. And you know what? I've never really had so much of a problem. So I think I'm pretty qualified to give advice to people that struggle in this area. You know what I mean, Lou? I think I got a little bit of experience. And it's not to say that what they are doing is correct. Don't be stupid and take my words out of context. The point that I'm making is that you have to treat your life with value. You have to learn how to deal, learn how to talk, learn how to cope to a certain degree with the current circumstance. And the truth is, they are there and they can kill you. So what do I do? I always cooperate. I'm very compliant. I don't fuss. I don't argue. Now, because I've done so, I really haven't had any problems at all with any officer. To be quite honest, I haven't. I can't lie to you that I have not. For certain, I have not had any issue with any police officers, and that's because more than likely I don't pose them to be an aggressive tone. Now, not to say those people that are getting stopped, okay, right, Lou? There are people that are getting stopped and are struggling, and their voice and their displeasure and the way they're being profiled or the way they're being treated, it's not to say that they're not right. They're not right for speaking out. But see, you got to look at the timing. That's what you got to look at. You have to look at when these things happen. And that's the problem, Lou. Certain times, you have to know when. When is it safe to speak? When can you actually do something? When should you do something? Because, see, your life is on the line. Is that not present to anybody? I'm speaking to the black people because I am black myself. Have you not learned? Have you not learned that the time that you flip out of your mouth could be the time you will lay in a casket? It's that serious. That's exactly what can happen. Word to the wise. Be wise. Deal with the injustice at the time, the certain type of attitude. More than likely, you'll be able to come back and you'll be able to go ahead and get a lawyer or press charges or file complaints. At least you will be alive to do so. And that's pretty much what my take is. You know, and it all led from the Hulk Hogan. Big time wrestler. Like him. He doesn't like black people, obviously. He said he was sorry. But actually, I think he's just really sorry about getting caught, because it was behind closed doors. One of his friends recorded him and put the tape out there. See, you got to be careful what to say to people sometimes nowadays, because it tends to have a way of finding itself in somewhere or someone else's conversation. You got to be very careful. Yeah, you do. You got to be extremely careful, because these things do come back. It comes back, people haunt you, and it's like, wow. You got to be careful.
Yeah.
So that's my speech on start out. And now we can get to the good stuff. Anything new in the NBA there, Lou? Any topic that you've heard, anything that's been...
Well, have you heard about Josh Smith?
Oh, I know he went somewhere. He left. Didn't he go to the Clippers?
Yeah, he went to the Clippers. And
okay.
You would think it would be a good situation, right? being how decent he played with Houston. But now, after the recent situation that's happened, I'm thinking, yeah, he's back to his regular self. Because Mr. Josh Smith.
What happened?
Well, Mr. Josh Smith is not happy with his money.
No.
He went from, he went from the $9 million that he recently had and signing with the Clippers, pretty much a pay cut down to $6 million. So he's not happy with it. And I guess this guy is majorly broke now because his comments were, I have a family to feed.
That's what he said, huh?
Yeah, keep in mind
what
that over
feeding his family.
Keep in mind that over his career, this guy has totaled what, like $80 million over the length of his career at this point.
You know, if you want to say you feel like you deserve more money based on your performance, okay, I could hear you out and then really start looking at the film. Tell me stuff like,
in this situation,
my family.
In this situation, no, because you have not performed. To like, cause see, what he really wants, he wants all that big money that everybody is getting right now at this point with the new deal that
he
had recently. But guess what? All these players that are getting these big time contracts, like Eric Bledsoe and, you know, everybody who re-signed with teams or signed with different teams this year and got like in between 60 to 80 million for like 4 or 5 years. Guess what? These are big time producing players. When was the last time have you been a big time producing player?
Since he was back in Atlanta. That's the
exactly.
last time I know. That's what, about 3-4 years ago?
Longer than that.
See, this is the thing. Yeah, it might be 5 years. 5 or 6 years. And let me tell you something. In life, people don't understand. Timing is everything. Is it not, Lou? Timing is everything. It will literally bang a hole in everything you do or say. You have to really sit back and really wait your turn to sit in the pocket because, see, if you don't take advantage of certain things, you will lose. Now, he had 3 or 4 seasons. Last season, he left. He went from Detroit, went to the Rockets, and he had his opportunity. And he looked somewhat serviceable. But did it look like it's time for him to get a better contract? I don't think I saw that at all. What about you?
No way.
I didn't see it. It's like, you know, come on, man. You know, you cannot get upset because your time has passed. You had the availability to get the big dollars and the big money. And what you did not do was perform on a level that you needed to perform on. Feel like Darren Williams? He'll never complain, right? He got that $90-plus million dollars, and it's like, oh, this is great. Right on time, right? Even before this deal and before the new TV deal, he didn't need to make more money because he's already made it. $80 million. This guy says, I got to feed my family. What you feeding them? You feeding them diamonds? You feeding them Rolls Royce seats?
Bentleys.
Bentley seats, though. What you feeding them? Mm-hmm. Oh, I know that goose. That goose that's in Jack and the Beanstalk, right? That lays the golden eggs. Because regular eggs, they can't survive off regular eggs. They got to eat the golden ones. What you feeding them, Josh? You got to feed them. What's it? How much money you got to feed them? I mean, you didn't make enough to feed them before? I mean, I don't know, man. A box of noodles only costs 99 cents. You got to feed your family, though, man. That's what you got to do. I hear you, Josh. I hear you. I don't know if I believe you, but I hear you.
Yeah. Yeah, so there goes that situation. Also,
yeah,
a couple of moves that have happened today, and of course, one of them by the Boston Celtics, of course, making moves under the radar, sneaky, sneaky stuff in the back alley, as the Celtics is doing with all the, you know, draft picks that they have. So now they have acquired Zoran Dragic, you know, Gordon Dragic's brother from the Heat, for a second-round pick and, you know, cash considerations. So pretty much that's another situation that's slowly bringing stuff together, and also at the same time they are slowly rounding things up for more off-season drafts and moves to come. So they're still not done doing deals. They have a lot more stuff that's going on with this team that's trying to do. So a lot more stuff going on with them. More news from the Heat that they let go of Sabazz Napier. They traded him to the Magic.
Wow. I heard that, Sabazz Napier. I don't know, man. I mean, the Magic's starting to make pretty solid moves. I hate to say that, but it's the truth. Mm-hmm. Been doing pretty good with this GM. The GM's been making some pretty moves with what he has. Not much, but they make sense.
You know what I'm going to say now, right?
Yeah, and I want to hear it too, so say it loud and proud.
Sabazz Napier will be one of the top point guards in the league once the Magic let him go. Right now, he'll be decent. He'll be decent with him. It's a good pickup for him, but he will be great once he leaves. That's just the rules of the system.
Wow. I don't know, man. What do you think? I mean, that was still a good move. I mean,
yeah, it is.
Regardless of what he, you know what I mean? He's pretty solid. But, you know, didn't they have Super Mario on the bench there? What is he going to, what are you going to do with him?
He's not really a point guard. Oh. He's like a shooting guard, small forward.
Shooting guard, right?
Combo kind of.
Is he going to play behind Oladipo? Or is he going to come in and they're going to run, what, like a small set?
Well, I think he might. I think he probably might play behind him. I'm still not sure of if he would start, because right now, what's his name, Aaron? That was last. I forgot his last name. From Arizona, they picked up. He was out most of the season with a foot injury. He's back 100% healthy, and he played very well during the summer league. So, Aaron Gordon. Yeah.
Aaron McGordon. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought, you know what?
Yeah. So Super Mario will be super off the bench. You know, backing him up. You know, if Aaron Gordon stays healthy. But yeah, they're looking okay. They made some decent moves, but not really going to make a difference. They still don't have enough. Cleveland did exactly what I expected them to do with.
They signed Dellavedova.
Yeah, they signed Dellavedova, and as I expected, they got rid of the big men. Kendrick Perkins is now with the Pelicans, and Brandon Hayward and Mike Miller are in Portland now.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I don't, I'm not upset about that. I can't even lie to you that, Lou. Like, I'm not.
Either.
Let me tell you. You know what I mean? Mike Miller, man, he looks like basically, you know, a guy that's just nearing, clean closer to just playing basketball in a wheelchair. That's what I see when I see that guy. I see him about to get in a wheelchair and try to dribble the ball through the wheelchair. That's what I see. That guy's broken down and he's done. Hayward, somewhat okay, but I mean Tristan Thompson, Timothy Mozgov, they are going to be somewhat elite defenders, elite, you know, rebounders, and you know what I'm saying? That's why to see how they know. Offensively, Mozgov is great, and defensively, Tristan Thompson is the truth. So, got to make room for him. Dellavedova probably signed for a little bit more. He's not a fool. He'll come off the bench, right? He'll do it because he gives you that effort, and he showed you, man, that guy's tough as nails. So, I give it to him.
Yeah.
I give it to him. And it's great, man. It's great. So I give it to him. Give him props. Give him much love and say, hey, makes sense. With Cleveland. Cleveland did really well. I like what San Antonio did. I like what the Clippers did. Who else? I do like what the Magic have done. They're on a little grade. I tell you, I love what San Antonio has done. You know, San Antonio, the Clippers, Cleveland will be elite. And, of course, I also like what Golden State did, which is really not lose anybody, really, outside of David Lee, right? They let him go to Boston, but his role was being diminished anyway going into the playoffs. For some reason, they just stopped using him. I think he might have upset management.
Yeah.
And we know, of course, Sacramento making changes. I don't know why, because
good luck.
Because the other guy, now it's going to be Kareem Abdul. Not Kareem Abdul, what am I saying? But, you know, I don't know, Lou. And as I'm really thinking, I just think they just made the right move. Portland's going to lose. I mean, it's going to be bad for a certain team. I expect, of course, the Oklahoma City Thunder to do something. Now it's whether Kevin Durant. That's what's the big story this year is going to be. Whether Durant, whether Westbrook, one of them, are they going to both stay together or are they going to leave? And we're going to see. We're going to see because, man, it doesn't look too bright. It doesn't, but we'll see.
Yeah.
Atlanta got to look pretty good, too.
Yeah. And they finally came to agreement to do away with the whole, you know, division leading thing for the playoffs. So now it's the straight up, you know, best eight teams.
Best
record.
Yeah.
So finally
about
do
time.
Away with that crap.
Yeah, because it's trash. Like, you know, it's trash. So, you know, man.
Yeah.
You know what I did? We didn't get a chance to talk, and I wanted to hear your thoughts particularly on it with my name? Phil Jackson and his comments about J.R. Smith and Marlon Shumpert before they left and some personal things. What do you think about that?
You know, I don't know what Phil's thinking. Like, why you wait till now to say that? What was their point even bringing it up now? Why you know, something like that could have been said, like, right when you trade the guys.
Yeah. So you know what that means, right? Hate to say it, but we all know what that means.
Mm-hmm.
He is definitely gearing the blame game. He's trying to make sure if he does not have a successful season, this season, that is not his fault. That's what he's waiting on.
That's well, guess what? You might as well start blaming everybody now, because there will be no successful season this season. Guaranteed that.
Surely won't. It surely won't. It's like there's certain moves now. You know, I don't see Indiana doing what they normally do. They don't lost too much leadership. You know, the Magic, I expect them to be a touch better. We all know Washington's going to be strong. We know Chicago will be somewhat serviceable, not really, not that much. Toronto, Atlanta's going to be tough. Cleveland's going to more than likely win the East with what they have. They basically have everybody coming back, majority of half of them, or a third, two-thirds of the stars is coming off of, what do we call that, Lou? Injury? You know, with Kyrie Irving and, of course, Kevin Love. So, that's what we're going to see. And, you know, truth be told, that's the idea. So it's not going to be anything that will surprise us. You know, in the East, we know New York will not be there. They're not going to do anything. They're basically garbage. And I expect, and I also expect, what's his name? What's my man for Charlotte? I expect the Bobcats to do a little better than what they did last year.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, be 500 team. And Boston.
Yeah, although
Boston's going to be
good. Teams in the lower half have gotten better. Miami has gotten better with their moves. You know, Boston is going to grind everybody out again, just like they did this season. You know, Milwaukee, they have gotten better. Like you said, Charlotte, them as well. So there's no spot in there for you, New York. And even the Nets. The Nets is, even without Darren Williams, they're looking pretty good too, because they keep Lopez and they keep Thaddeus Young, and they added a couple of people as well. So they're looking pretty good. They make a run in the playoffs as well.
Yeah, you know what, you're right. Because I think they got better without Darren Williams. I think Jared Jack looked better than him anyway. He's probably more than likely going to be the starter for New Jersey, right?
Yeah.
Didn't Jack used to play for Golden State like a couple years ago?
Yeah, he played for Golden State, and I think he played for the Pacers for a little bit also.
When he was a rookie, right? So Jared Jack, I never understood. Like, he's one of those guys that's like that's pretty solid and good, but everybody keeps trading. And I don't know if that's by his choice or if that's just teams.
Yeah, it's just he's affordable. That's his contract. I don't know how much he makes, but he's affordable to make moves.
Yeah, that's true. He's good though.
Yeah.
I always thought he was really good.
He's been a solid player everywhere he played.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. So, let me get into a little NFL here. And it's not much topics. We got to really scrounge for topics. But, you know, it's interesting situations here. Like, what's going on here with, remember, Jonathan Martin, right? The bully victim. Now, I guess that news is coming out that he's going to retire from NFL football. I think he would have had to face back surgery, and he said, you know what, I'm just going to give it up. You know, after the Dolphins situation, you kind of just figured it was just a matter of time, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he went to San Francisco with Jim Harbaugh. Of course, when Harbaugh left, he basically was out of a job. Because no locker room would more than likely trust him anyway. Carolina said, hey, you know, you're going to have back surgery. He says, well, thanks, but no thanks. I'll just go ahead and give up. So, it's amazing. He was really talented coming out of Stanford. And after that Dolphins situation, he never was quite the same. Been a shell of himself ever since. But he made a couple mil, so it's all right. And he's an intelligent guy. He graduated from Stanford. He's smart. Pretty sure he knows how to do well with his money. And he has an educated mother and father who can guide him on the success to business. And I'm sure he will be fine. But it's just, man, he is so, you can fall from grace real quick if you're not careful nowadays. You could definitely fall from grace. That just didn't feel good. It felt rather hurtful. So, interesting enough how that happens. You know, Coach Pettit, or Petting, says that basically Manziel has an opportunity to possibly be a starter. And we already knew that basically out of those two, that could be a possibility. We knew it. We knew definitely that, you know, they got rid of Brian Hoyer, and they have, you know, a Cade McCown who looked good for Chicago about 2-3 seasons ago. And it's like, listen, he went to Tampa Bay and he stumped up the building. Okay, now he's coming here. We know Johnny Football has excitement, and if he can get his head right heading to the game, he can be dangerous. He has the talent and ability and escapability to play the position. Will he make the best of it? That's what we have to see. And once we see that, I think things will become blaringly obvious about who really has an opportunity to start. I mean, outside of that, nothing really more to add to that, but just like, you know, hey, if you like chicken, buy a couple of wings, man. It's all good. Okay, Russell Wilson and what's going on. He's still in talks. And I tell you, he I don't know what's taking Seattle so long. You know, they need to go ahead and give him a talk. I mean, what is there really to say? I mean, 3 years in the NFL, playoff, Super Bowl. Enough said for me. You know, what do you think, Lou? That's what I see.
Yeah, I don't see no issue there. But then again, remember, this is the NFL we're talking about.
Man, I tell you, it's crazy.
They always manage to find a way to screw something up and screw somebody over.
You see, you know what's crazy is that I always hear about, you know, this whole thing with Andrew Luck. And I'm not saying Andrew Luck is not great and he's not the next coming or he won't be one of the greats. But when you compare the resumes, you know, between Wilson and between Andrew Luck, they are, to me, in my opinion, don't match up. I think Russell has a better, but you know what's going to happen with Russell. Well, Russell is always going to be that situation where, oh, the defense saves him. Oh, you know, he just has a great defense. He doesn't have to do as much and read as much complicated offenses. Say what you want. There's something in this world and in sports that we call, it's called winning. That's what it's called. Certain people know how to win. And at the end of the day, that's what it's really about. You can say what you want. They came in at the same time. This guy was a third rounder. He was a third rounder. He beat out the starter who they gave a lot of money to. Came in, went to the playoffs his rookie season, beat the rookie of the year in the playoffs at that time, which was RG3. Oh, yeah, he was injured. That's what they would say, right? Comes back the next year. Takes on Peyton Manning and beats him in the Super Bowl, 43-8. He had a lot to do with what was going on there. And they'll never give him the credit. They'll always find something to say against him, make sure that he loses. And it's sad. It's just really disappointing that they do that to him. Because he really deserves it. And it's like, what is the hesitation on the guy's money? You've been to the playoffs three straight years, you've been to two out of three Super Bowls. 2 years in a row, you've gone to the Super Bowl, and it is for a large fact due to the fact of what he's doing. Now, they want to probably look at the play he made last season on the goal line. Okay. It happens from time to time. Ultimately, he puts you in a position to get there. It was right on the goal line. He takes the throw back or throws it a little bit further out. We have a different conversation. That's what we would have. So, you know, that's what they do. The NFL is like they're never thankful. They got to always try to figure out a way to hustle you or screw you over. Here's the guy's money. Can you please give him his money? I would like for the guy to get his money. Good Lord. Let's get the guy's money. So anyway, we'll leave the NFL off there. Lou, any other major story here before we go ahead and cap it on out?
Well, nothing major. I mean, we got I had heard that Ben Roethlisberger said that the Steelers could average 30 points a game this season.
Well, I tell you what, I'm not going to write him totally off. He might be right. That Steelers team last season, if they don't get there, see, you got to remember Le'Veon Bell, the running back, basically him and LeGarrette Blount, who also had a Super Bowl because he went to the Patriots at the right time, right? Got picked up in the playoffs. This guy got picked up. Picked on, yep. Put on the squad, helped lead that team to a championship. And, you know, look at it. They got caught smoking weed in the car going to a preseason game, I believe. And he's basically punished two regular season games, or is it four? I can't even remember what it was, but it's like that's a big piece because Le'Veon Bell is a threat as a running back and as a catching or a back that can catch out of the backfield. So you add him, then you have Antonio Brown and you have Martavis Bryant on the edges and Heath Miller, and you got Big Ben. This is a dangerous offensive team. And they can definitely hurt a lot of feelings. And I'm not going to completely write them off there, Lou. That offense is going to be pretty solid. It is. It's going to be pretty solid. But, you know, the difference is, though, is that they got to have a good defense. And they've lost a lot of name brand people on there. I think the only one that's left is your boy James Harrison, right? Everybody else is somewhat gone. Ike Taylor's gone. Palomalu has retired. He's gone. It's like, man, it's not even the same team or the same intimidating defense that they used to be. And, of course, Dick LeBeau, Hall of Fame coordinator, he's gone. So now you got Mike Tomlin, and he's a great coach. But, I mean, we have to see.
Yeah. Average 30 points a game and also could average giving up 30 points a game.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely, bro. You know, I see this thing on ESPN here about this guy. Started playing football when he was 29 years old in college. Made it as a long snapper in the NFL, Luke. Ain't that something? Even the league minimum in the NFL is still like $300,000 to $400,000 a year. I would love that. Well, I guess we have to find our way to make money through the radio, make that kind of salary. Of course, Colin Cowherd got kicked off ESPN earlier than what he needed to be, I guess, because he made a comment about Dominican baseball players. And you know how he is. He's very controversial. He's always going to mention something that's not necessarily popular, but it becomes popular because it's so out there. And it's not, you know what? And when you look at some of the stuff he says, it has elements of truth in it. It's not like it's so far-fetched what he's saying. I don't think it's always correct. I think I disagree with him most of the time, but then I can see why he says what he said. Takes a real narrow view. And something like, how is it that a small country like Dominican Republic can dominate baseball, and here in the United States, the whole country that is big can't? And the best athletes from the world come here. So, you know, I can see, but the answer is obvious. I mean, that's their specialty. That's why they're great.
He's, Yeah, he's talked about that before. So why is that an issue now?
You know, the temperature and you know the temperature is hot right now. You can't do anything anymore. And you know what? I think this ought to be, and I'm going to remember this because I'm going to write it down.
Literally,
I'm going to talk about the temperature.
He literally talked
sports.
About this same situation and elaborated on it like a couple of months ago, like 2 or 3 months ago.
Yeah, but, you know, I didn't necessarily hear the specifics of it. So I'm going to try to see if he has the episode up on his website. Take a listen, and we'll just bring it in as a topic of conversation come this Thursday night, and we'll have it ready then. But, Lou, like we ran out of time. It was a great comeback. We got to go ahead and get to business here in a minute before it'll just be ourselves. But that's okay. We'll bounce back to get things in order. But for anybody else that chimes in or listens, Sports Lines, I'm your host, Marlon Ranger, and that's my man, Lou. And we will be back Thursday, 8 o'clock. And it's best if we leave with beautiful music. Lou, peace, man. Have a great night. We'll catch you Thursday.
I'm feeling it, feel the glass in the top of my way. Feel the legs pushing up on the stairs. Feel the high that you get from the light. If you feel the rage of hell in the sky.